Well, this morning I want to read to you out of John chapter 13. Let me begin there. And you'll find a lot of this message is really scripture this morning. You'll say, well, what did he really say? Well, this morning it's not what I say. It's really what the scripture and what the word says. So let me read it to you in John chapter 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." Heavenly Father, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray, Lord, that we could be instructed and taught and learned by the Holy Spirit today. Lord, help us be teachable. But Lord, help us to grab something from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is really the story of the beginning of the Passover meal he had with his disciples, and Jesus takes on the role of the lowest person, the servant of the household, who they would come into the house and it's the servant who would get down and wash the feet of those who come into the house. And Jesus takes that position on that occasion. And he calls the disciples up and he says, "I'm going to wash your feet." Now let me give you a little forethought here for a moment. These guys are going to flee in just a few hours. One of them's going to deny him three times. The rest of them are going to run. One of them is going to betray him. And yet Jesus wants to wash their feet. Even before they messed up, he wants to wash their feet. He knows they're going to mess up. And yet he calls them over and takes the water out of the basin and begins to wash their feet. Because this basin is a basin of grace, is what it is. Out of this basin of grace, I don't know about you, but you know the story we just read a little bit about Peter. And Peter's like, "Lord, you can't wash my feet." I find a lot of people show up in church and they're like, "I don't need this Jesus." But Jesus said, "I have to wash your feet. I have to do that." There's another side of the story too for us. We know Christ. But you know what? I wonder how many times do we come into church and as Christians, I wonder if we'll allow him to wash our feet today. See, we don't feel like that's important. I'm on my way to heaven and all of that. But let me tell you, you've picked up junk from the world all week long. Wherever your feet have gone, you've picked up garbage and trash and dirt and filth. And Jesus, when we come to him each Sunday, what he really wants to do is wash our feet. That's why I show up. God, I don't need, I've had the bath, right? But where I've walked, sometimes my feet get dirty. And this is really what Jesus was trying to illustrate. But he is the servant and he hasn't changed. He still wants to serve you and wash the dirt off your feet today. He wants you to fall in love with him again and don't say, no, I don't really need that. But I don't need to go the other way with Peter and say, well, Lord, just, you know, wash all over me. Get my head, my hair, and get the shampoo out and just do me. Jesus says, that's not what's needed. Church, one of the lessons that we learned from this Last Supper, this Passover meal that Jesus taught was, we're going to need cleansing from time to time. And he is the one that can cleanse us. He says, I have to cleanse you. One of the things out of this basin of grace is that we need to realize that there will be people who hurt us, but how are we going to treat them? How are we going to pour our lives into them? Well, here's what our Savior does. He kneels down. The darkest acts of their lives are yet to come, but he kneels down. And rather than recoiling away from them because of what they're going to do, by grace he begins to wash their feet. Church, the world is looking for somebody who will represent Christ. We tend to recoil from the sin, or we look at what they're about to do instead of stepping in with grace and saying, let me wash your feet. Let me serve you. We tend to recoil. But Christ reaches out with kindness and grace, and he says, I can clean that if you want. He can clean you completely. Oh, first, there needs to be a bath at some point. But in that daily walk, we need to come because our relationships, listen to this, relationships don't thrive because the guilty get punished. If that was the way relationships work, man, this would be relationship filled. Hey, you're going to get punished for what you did. I'm in relationship with you. That's not the way relationships work. Relationships work because of grace. It's amazing how much grace. In fact, usually when we're not with our family and when we're somebody else's family, it's amazing how gracious we are with them. They'll say maybe a negative word and we just kind of, you know what, they'll learn. With our own family, sometimes we're rougher and we're harder on them. I want the basin of grace to always abound wherever you are. Jesus does it with the closest ones to him. Spent 3 years walking with them. And yet he washes their feet that night. His grace was extended in a lot of different ways. You remember Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree wanting to see Jesus? And Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house. But you guys realize this guy was a manipulator? A thief, stole, took away people's income. And yet Jesus shows up at his house. He chooses a man like Matthew, a tax collector. Here's someone else, again, kind of skimming off the top and taking what he can. Even a Peter, a fisherman. Boy, that's a lifestyle to strive for. And Jesus accepts all of them, and later on, even Paul, a murderer. Why? All because of grace. Not because of what they did, not because of what they were going to do, but he washes their feet early on. In fact, there's a story of a lady I want you to hear about. A lady who had faith because of his grace.
That's a wonderful story. This is one of my favorite parts of going to Jerusalem at feast time. There are lots of travelers to talk with. So you heard Jesus teach. I met him once, just for a moment, but oh, he changed my life in that one moment. I'm from Galilee, though the accent probably gave that away. But wait, I know what you're thinking. No, I was not an adulteress or a harlot, and I have never been demon-possessed. I was just sick. For 12 years, I suffered from bleeding, and no one could offer me any hope that one day I might be cured. Oh, I saw plenty of doctors. Too many. You are a very sick woman. I can give you some medicine. I don't think it'll help, but does it hurt to try? That'll be 3 shekels. I was sick of doctors. Still, I didn't give up hope. Then I heard that Jesus was in Galilee, and I began to learn of the miracles he had done. I soon had little doubt that Jesus was a prophet. If I could get to him, I would be healed. Well, the Lord test our faith. Jesus sailed to the other side of the lake before I could get to him. I was bitterly disappointed. I didn't know when he would come back, but it wasn't long. As soon as I heard he returned, I got ready to find him. My hands trembled as I got dressed. I thought my heart was going to pound out of my chest. There was already a crowd waiting for Jesus, but it didn't deter me. I was going to find Jesus. The man near me moved away, careful not to touch me. The next few minutes were a blur as the crowd traveled up one of the narrow streets. Somehow I got to the front of the crowd, and then I saw him. He was walking with one of our synagogue officials, Jairus. The crowd was pressed in so tightly, I didn't know how I would get to him, but I was so close. If I could only touch him, I was sure. I fought to stay near him, and finally, I was close enough. I fell to my knee and stretched out my arm. My fingers just touched the hem of his robe. And I felt it right away. The health, the life, the power that flowed through me. I was healed. I began to cry for sheer joy. Years of suffering brought instantly to an end, but I was completely unprepared for what happened next. Jesus stopped and turned to the men around him and asked, "Who touched me?" My heart nearly stopped. I had hoped he didn't notice. What I had done was inappropriate. Women do not touch men who aren't related to them, much less an unclean woman touch an unrelated rabbi. I froze. One of the men with Jesus turned to him with a puzzled look.
"Master," he said, "the people are crowding and pressing against you, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'"
I felt momentary relief. I thought Jesus would agree and go on, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." That was it. I couldn't go unnoticed. He had felt the power flow out of him that I had felt flow into me. Tears still streaming down my face, I stepped out, trembling, and fell at Jesus' feet. I told him the whole story of my illness and why I had touched him. I braced myself, expecting to be rebuked, but instead he said gently, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone ran up to him and told him that Jairus' daughter had died. Jairus looked stricken, but Jesus assured him she would be all right. I smiled through my tears. Of course the little girl would be all right. I had no doubts. Jesus, Jairus, and the rest of the crowd went on their way. And I got up and went my way, in peace, as Jesus had bid me. Oh, and also in joy. I don't know if you realized it when you listened to him teach, but Jesus is no ordinary man. I can tell you, I don't have a doubt in my mind. I knelt before the Son of God, the Messiah, that day.
If only you could hear all the stories of the lives that were touched by Jesus. But not just in the Bible. What about the lives that have been touched in this place? There's a simple little chorus that I just want to sing with you. Because it's because of grace. And this morning we can say, your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect when I am weak. All that I cling to, I lay at your feet. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're going to do. He's there. And it began at a table like this. And said, I'm about to take care of all your sin. Let me read to you out of Matthew 26. It says, when evening came at verse 20, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely not I, Lord. And Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, says, surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus answered, yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. And then listen to this verse. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This morning I've set the table in half. One is just kind of try to represent the Passover. But you need to understand, Jesus wasn't just dealing with the present. He was concerned about the future. And I'm going to talk to you in a moment about that as right after we take communion together. But he said, until that day, I won't drink it today, but there's a day coming in heaven. Anew, I will celebrate with you. But the invitation comes at this place where he says, all of you, partake of it. Those who are serving communion, and the choir is going to sing a song, and those who are serving are preparing, and they'll come and they're just going to serve you while the choir sings. And I want you to just open your heart and begin to think about what he did for you. In this place, we have open communion. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome to receive with us. God bless you.
Makes me white as snow.
choir is being served their communion, I want to read to you a passage that Paul records for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as he recaps what that night meant. It says in chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." The betrayal had to take place. I just don't want you to betray him. I don't want you to be the one that denies him. I want you to be one who is walking in faith because of grace. It's not works, or we begin to boast. But it's his grace. Out of the basin of grace, we move to the table where he not just talks about the moment and the moment to come that I'll pay for sin, but eternity. That's what this is about. So he took the bread. In verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's why we take the first Sunday of every month and remember. I won't ever forget. So I just want the scripture to speak to you today. It's for you. Father, I thank you that you gave your body. Lord, this day we remember. Lord, as we approach this season that we call Easter, but resurrection time, but Lord, the cross, such a pivotal point. Lord, that Passover meal was so pivotal too for teaching us what it was about. Lord, you said, "Do this until you come back." So Lord, we remember today, and we thank you for your body. In Jesus' name, amen. Take together. Verse 25, he says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Don't leave out the last three words: "until he comes." He's not dead, but I proclaim his death. Because it was at his death that we got life. It was by him shedding his blood that we could have life. He was explaining this to his disciples because he wanted them to understand. So, Lord, I thank you for the blood today. Thank you for paying such an awesome price. Lord, minister to our lives. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for forgiving the world. Lord, may the world come to acknowledge you. And Lord, help us, in Jesus' name, to receive what you did. Amen. Let's partake. Just a couple of scriptures and I'll close. Revelation 19 speaks of this. I want you to hear it this morning in chapter 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." I want you to know that there's an invitation. One day, this part of the table is going to take place. This doesn't even compare to what it will really be like. I can't even compare that to the old, or this really to the new. It's just a symbol to help us remember that Jesus wasn't just concerned about the moment. You were made for eternity. With him or without him is the question. If you're with him, we get to celebrate. Without him, separated from fellowship with him forever. But he invites you to come. In fact, Jesus tells a story in his ministry in Luke 14 and verse 15. When one of those at the table heard him, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'You go out to the roads and the country lanes and you make them come in so that my house will be full.'" God did not create heaven to be empty. And he has invited through him everyone who wants to come. I don't know how you feel. Maybe you get caught. But folks, as Christians this morning, don't let what happened to those first three happen to you. We get so enamored with the things of the world that we become distracted about the banquet. And the banquet no longer really means anything. The banquet is what it's about. But these got caught up. In fact, I look at the young people. Don't you want to get married? But wouldn't you really marry Jesus? Wouldn't that be the greatest? I know, ladies, you're probably looking forward to a great day. You get to walk down the aisle, the beautiful dress, and the wonderful day. And your dads are all thinking about the money. A ladder and $10. It's all yours. It's going to be a beautiful day, young ladies, if the Lord tarries. But it will not compare. As beautiful as your day may be, it will not compare to the banquet when the church is married to Christ. We can get so caught up, "I want to get married before he comes back." If I could only get you a glimpse, church, what he has in store for the church is incredible. The last part of the story is application for you today. See, you have become the ambassadors of Christ as though you represent God. And you're about to leave this place. And listen, I'm going ahead and telling you, go out to the highways and the byways. But listen to this word, compel them, bait them. We get so afraid that people don't want to come. That is their decision. But if they've never really given the invitation, how can they make the choice? Church, too many times we've made the choice for them by not telling them, by making their decision. Well, I've seen their life. They want to live that way. They want to do that. That's not how Jesus did it. I'll wash your feet. I'll do everything I can. Why? Because I don't want you to miss the banquet. Don't get preoccupied with the world. But become the ambassadors. Be the servants who leave and say, would you come? I want you to come. You need to come. And they'll say, you're crazy. And so be it. But I'm telling you, one day, this is going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Jesus is going to return. It's going to be in the twinkle of an eye. And all this world, all its kings, all its presidents, all of its leaders and rulers, everything's going to go into chaos. And this period of grace is about to end. And judgment is coming. That's why His grace is so important today. That's why that table then, 2,000 years ago, was important. Why? For this future. The church, the story is in your hands. If you leave it to me alone, hey, you can bring them here. Invite your friends. I'll tell them the story. But why don't you? Because they're going to need a partner to disciple them and lead them, and somebody to watch like the family. So church, don't miss the banquet. Don't miss it. Would you bow your heads? This morning I want to give an invitation. Maybe you've never really been clean. You're thinking, well, I need my feet washed, but I need all of me. But this morning, I want you to know Christ, what He did for you will make you completely clean if you'll receive it. Simply in this room, if you want to accept Christ as your Savior this morning and be Lord of your life, or maybe you've fallen away and you're ready to come home and say, man, I don't want to miss the banquet. Would you just lift your hand in this place, the balcony, main floor? I'm just looking across because I want to make sure I give an invitation this morning. I'm looking across the congregation. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. Thank you. We're going to pray with you in just a moment. Is there anybody else? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to, because this is between you and the Lord this morning. This is something you do, but I want to help you. Amen. I want you to pray with me. There was just a couple who raised their hands this morning, but I want you to pray with me for these. And I want you to lift this as though maybe it was for your first time too. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you for what you did for me. Thank you for sending Jesus your Son. And I accept what He did at Calvary for me. I believe He died and He rose again. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come live in my life by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those who lifted your hands, I celebrate with you, but I celebrate with all of us. Why? Hey, we've got a great future. But listen, I've got to walk this season until He comes. Young ladies, I'm going to tell you publicly. Young men on that row, boy, we're watching over you guys because I want you to have the right person in your life. Until Jesus comes, I want you to stay on that path. I want you to grow toward Christ because I want you to begin the mystery of the marriage is really a representation of us marrying Christ, and it ought to be the right marriage forever. See? And it can practically work in our lives until He comes. So church, I've held you a little long today. This is a lot to take care of, but I wanted to speak to you because this is so important. If we don't get His grace, His mercy, it's just works. It's just attendance. And by the way, God has never called me up and asked for your attendance record yet. I attend because I love Him. Amen. Listen, I'm about to release you. I want to bless you. And listen, those who raised their hands, or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you made that confession. I'm going to ask some of my pastors to hang around for just a moment. And you can come to us. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. And we want to minister to you today. And listen, church, next Sunday, His victory. I'm going to go ahead and prepare you, because I don't want to blow you out of the water. I'm going to talk about the resurrection. But I want you to know the victory started at the cross. And I got to talk about the cross as we begin next week, because that's where it started. When He died on that cross and He gave up His spirit, He said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." Folks, the victory. You say, "Where is it?" Well, I'm going to talk about it next week, because it should be a part of your life. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, today bless Your people. Lord, as we leave this place, I pray You will infuse us with the Spirit of God. God, that we could be Your people. And Lord, we look forward to the banquet one day where we'll celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb. And Lord, may we always remember the incredible grace when You poured out Your life, Your body, Your blood, Your purpose, Your life. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled week infused by His Spirit.